They believe that to gratify the senses is the prime necessity of human civilization. Thus, until the end of life, their anxiety is immeasurable, bound by a network of hundreds and thousands of desires, and absorbed in lust and anger, they secure money by illegal means for sense gratification. The demoniac accepts that the enjoyment of the senses is the ultimate goal of life. And this concept they maintain until death. They do not believe in life after death. And they do not believe that one takes on different types of bodies according to one's karma or activities in this world. Their plans for the life are never finished, and they go on preparing plan after plan, all of which are never finished. We have personal experience of a person of such demoniac mentality who, even at the point of death, was requesting the physician to prolong his life for 4 years or more because his plans were not yet complete. Such foolish people do not know that a physician cannot prolong life even for a moment. When the notice is there, there is no consideration of a man's desire. The laws of nature do not allow a second beyond what is destined to enjoy. The demoniac person who has no faith in God or the super soul within himself perform all kinds of sinful activities simply for sense gratification. He does not know that there is a witness sitting within his heart. The super soul is observing the activities of the individual soul. As it is stated in the Upanishad, there are two birds sitting on one tree. One is eating and enjoying or suffering the fruits of the branches, and the other is witnessing. But one who is demoniac has no knowledge of Vedic literature, or he has any faith also. Therefore, he feels free to do anything for sense enjoyment, regardless of consequences. Om Ajnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurumilitanjena Tasmai Sri Gurve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovishtam Sapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupakadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guruho Sri Jitapadakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Sri Rupam Sakrajatam Sakanarakunatam Tantam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sakanaralita Sri Sakantam Sham He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kantra Sri Radha Kantra Namaskate Tapta kanchana gaurangi radhe vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu sute devi pranamami shri kriya Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasati Kodra Bhakta Vrindha Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Chintama parimeyam cha pralayam tam upasritaha kamopu bhoga paramaha etavaditi nischitaha asha pasha sater vaddha kama krodha parayana ihante kama bhogartham manyane thapta sanchayan. They believe that to gratify the senses is the prime necessity of human civilization. Thus, until the end of the life, anxiety is immeasurable, bound by the network of hundreds of thousands of desires, and absorbed in lust and anger, they secure money by illegal means for sense gratification. By this standard, we can understand that almost the whole world is demoniac. The demoniac nature is universal. It's not that we can only find demons in Patal Loka where they reside. A devotee, on the other behalf, he tries to see the demons within himself. Who are these demons? It is said, we have two types of desires also, which are divine desires and demoniac desires. Whatever we want, we become. The desires manifest themselves in the form of demons within us. So we do not discriminate in front of the desire because they are all sitting in the mind. Mind is a seat of desire. But Krishna advises something. By a very gradual gradation, one has to look into one's own self, where the person's identity is not simply based on the bodily conception, on the gross form or subtle form like the senses, or subtler than the senses would be the mind. No, there is something beyond that too. Indriyani pararahu indriyabhya parampana manashastu paror buddhe buddhistu sa eva param. Beyond the gross body, there are subtler senses. We cannot see the senses, but we feel. And subtler than the senses is mind. Subtler than the senses is the mind. But subtler than the mind is intelligence, and subtler than the intelligence is the soul. So who is next to the soul? Mind or intelligence? What is the function of intelligence?
Discriminate.
Between what?
Demonic and divine.
That's it?
Good and bad.
Both are going to keep you in material world if you use your intelligence for them.
Material and spiritual.
That's correct. Na sato vidyate bhavo na bhavo vidyate asat. Ubhayorupi drashtvanta tattva darshini. Intelligence has to be directed towards finding out what is the absolute truth. That is called sat. It has a function. This faculty, intelligence, we think accumulating information by IT, information technology, they think it is artificial intelligence, which is equivalent to our intelligence, that is the innate nature of the soul, that he has been aware, knowledgeable. Intelligence is manifestation of chit potency. When we were born, we have nothing but this chit potency with us. Neither we were able to know our existential potency, nor our purpose. That is bliss potency, ladini shakti. The soul has three potencies because he is part and parcel of the Supreme Soul. Therefore, he inherits all the three qualities within himself. Sat, chit, anand. And it is only by the use of intelligence in proper perspective of the chit potency that it has, he can realize himself that he is part and parcel of the world. We were talking yesterday that Krishna is so merciful that he provided a place for us for sense gratification. Why? Because we wanted it. We asked for it. And that also with an envious mentality towards Lord Himself. Krishna explores that in the second chapter in identification of the soul, and just to instruct Arjuna that you are not this body. Your spirit soul. Your nature is divine. So he said, Ichha dvesha samuthena dvanda mohena bharata sarva bhutani sammoham sarge yanti paramata. The original sin or the root cause is to create a desire, Ichha, which is born out of hate towards the Supreme Lord Himself. The living entity was cast into the delusion of duality. That is material world. It is delusion. What is the difference between illusion and delusion? Illusion may keep you alive somewhere in Maya, that is illusory energy. It may afford you a chance to become realized, your original nature. But delusion means it will degrade you all the way. This degradation is demoniac. It can afford you to elevate yourself by cultivating those qualities which are conducive to proper education and bring us to a point of realization of true nature as spirit, soul, part and parcel of the whole, qualitatively one with the Lord. That is divine. And that is the function of illusory energy. But by abusing the illusory energy, we are degraded more and more, and that is the demonian nature. So a person has to discriminate, and therefore intelligence is one of our constitutional manifestation. This constitutes our subtle body, mind, intelligence and ego. And intelligence is the closest friend to the soul, not mind. Mind is very, very cheating. Don't trust the mind at all. People take the process within the mind and they think, oh, I always chant whenever I work, I remember Krishna. But the mind is not settled. It is flickering. It's changing its color like a chameleon, you know. It is enticed by the subject matters of the five senses. The eyes are pulling him in one direction. The nose is pulling him in other direction. All the senses, when they are pulling the mind, manushatthani indriyani prakriti sthani karshati. Krishna says, the soul is being my part and parcel, but he is entrapped in the body made up of mind and five senses. Mamai vamsho jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. The soul is my part and parcel in this material body. But manasasthani indriyani prakriti sthani karshati. He has been dragged through the mind which is chained with five senses. So even in Kathopanishad there is beautiful allegory of how this living body, living entity is. Then he is riding on a chariot which is drawn by five senses, the five horses. The horses are tied up with a rope, and there are five ropes. The ropes are considered to be the mind. Right? Now, even though you have a chariot, you are riding, but if the ropes are not tightly held by the intelligence, the five senses will be dragged in all different directions. So can you imagine what will be the condition of the chariot? And if the condition of the chariot is very unstable, what will be the condition of the passenger, that is the soul who is riding this chariot? It is completely in confusion, or it is called chintam aparimeya. Aparimiya means insurmountable or immeasurable anxieties. And how would you be able to relieve the anxiety? You have to give the reign of the mind in the hands of intelligence, which is a discriminating faculty. It has to judge between what is real and what is unreal. That is the only function of the intelligence. It's not that, oh, I want to utilize my intelligence so I can earn better. That is not intelligence. That is information. And you can pull out at your desire this information from the mind. Means whatever the training is on that particular subject matter. It's not a big deal. In any body, the soul wants to enjoy whatever that experience is within that body. And as is also having the mind. But his mind is restricted simply on the grass. Annamaya coast. The soul is surrounding only where is the food. All the animals are on the basis of that filling the belly. That is called their consciousness is geared on the food and nothing more. A man's consciousness is also concentrated, little expanded in eating, sleeping, mating and defending. That is also there in the animals. And they come on the natural progression by the time factor. And they disappear. They do not willfully indulge beyond the natural progression. They are under the jurisdiction of the nature's law. But the man, human being, he is completely uncontrolled. What is the reason? He wants to accumulate more. He wants to eat more. He wants to sleep more. He wants to have sex more. And he wants to defend more and more. And all these four activities increase nothing but his anxieties. So, erroneously comes to the point or philosophizing on the subject, survival of the fittest. It's completely an artificial theory. So there is competition under the name of capitalism providing so much abundant, so people can have a lot of sense gratification, varieties of sense gratification, but nothing is satiable or satisfying to the soul. So naturally, this is also as good as demoniac nature. They tend to forget the reality is based on the eternal principle of existence. Otherwise, what is real? That is, everybody defines their reality in a different way. What do you think of real? What do you mean by reality? Oh, whatever I see, this is real. Look at this man, he is miserable. Can't you help it? That is real. How can you say? First of all, we are all born with defective senses. Our senses are so limited. There are many animals which have powerful senses. They have built-in radar and sonar system within themselves that they can perceive the enemy from far, far distance. Our vision is limited. Our hearing is worse than a dog's hearing. a dog, 50 feet away will be able to listen the heartbeats, at what rate they are going, whether this man is going to attack. He is very keenly listening. So if the person is excited within his mind of that particular desire to attack, the dog jumps on him without provocation. Or you have a bad dog, is jumping on me. No, you have bad mentality. He knows better than what you are. So this is how the dogs are trained. Attack dogs, So the idea is, with defective senses, whatever our estimation is also defective in nature. Therefore, we are prone to be illusioned. Imperfect senses or defective senses can be easily misleading our judgment. If we have an experience of snake in the morning, during daytime, so even in the night time, even a rope is lying before us, we will take it for granted that it is a snake. That is illusion. In fact, it is not. So our mind, our sense perception immediately dictates that it may be, oh, child, oh, I was in illusion. Oh, it's not. But it takes, it makes a wrong judgment. Illusory judgment. The third thing, because we have imperfect senses and we are prone to be illusion, therefore we are prone to make mistakes all the time. To err is human. That is the third defect. But over and above, we are individuals, regardless I am making mistake. I am still me. I have my desires to be fulfilled. So everybody has. So what's that? And who is perfect anyway? Everybody has defect. So I am not alone. Means I, the ego, I have mentality to fulfill my desire without considerations of any others. So I will try to make sure that nobody cheats me. Means I have to cheat them. If we are fearful of being cheated, then we also adopt the same system to cheat others. So at more or less extent, people are not truthful. Human being is not truthful, he is cheating. In every aspect, to fulfill the selfishness, they have to cheat. So by nature they are all mercantile. Oh, just for you I will give you a cost price. But it is never the cost price. Anyway, that is the fourth effect. And we can't make a judgment what is right and wrong. Therefore, the reality has a different standard to be measured at. Nasato vidyate bhavo na bhavo vidyate asat. Ubhayorapi trashtu anta tattva darshibhi. Tattva darshibhi. Tattva means the truth. You have to place the standard of truth on the basis of the reality. And for the real there is no cessation, and for the unreal there is no endurance. So those vasikas of truth, they go for this ultimate definition of reality. And one who is a seeker of truth and using the reality as the standard, then he is called intelligent. Our intelligence is dependent upon this discrimination that is being taught by Lord Shri Krishna. A person who is said to be intelligent means who is looking for his permanency. Where is the permanent benefit? And only for the objects, our objectives, both are permanent in nature, seek for it, otherwise not. Time being good or little benefit, which is temporary benefit, will never satisfy a demoniac nature. He wants more and more and more, but he doesn't know what is the permanent situation. So, those who are striving for temporary benefits, they harbor demoniac quality and they have to go into the competition. Try to supersede. This is called capitalism. It's demoniac nature. Capitalism is demoniac nature. Create artificial competition, artificial scarcity. Look at what is happening with the oil situation. People are losing lives without any tangible benefit. To kill one person, how many people are being killed on both sides? And they can't catch it. So many defensive systems they are using, and they end up killing the unwanted people. Not to be killed, they are being killed. So this is nothing but demoniac nature. Collective demoniac nature is being expressed by the policy of a nation. That is possible. When individual is cultivating a desire, there will be a group of people who will be also conceiving similar desires. So they get together and choke out a policy to wipe out the so-called enemy. They don't want to wipe out the enemy within themselves. They want to wipe out the rights of others to live. That is demonic. It's further explained, I have killed this man today, I will kill the other one tomorrow, and I will be the Lord and Master. That's it. So the idea is that Ichha dvesa samuthena dvanda mohena bhava. In this way, the demoniac desire generally arises by acting against the will of the Lord. This is the first and foremost necessity to create this material world. So all the demons will be placed in. But how about the other one to counteract them? So demons were produced out of the womb of Diti. Looks like they are in majoring. Diti is very fertile. And she begot so many hundreds and thousands of demons. And in demoniac quality, they are superseding in excellency from one another. There is also competition. Who can be the best demon? Who can be best demon? When Hiranyakashipu was killed, when Hiranyaksha was killed, Hiranyakashipu, his brother, who is also well versed in self-realization, he is consoling the wife of Hiranyaksha. Oh, why are you crying? He is eternal. For the soul there is no death. It's not only the body which is killed. But make sure, I will promise you, I will wipe out your tears for once and all by killing my brother's enemy, Vishnu. So, a demon can be also well versed. They say even a demon quotes the Shastras. Even a demon quotes the Shastras. Ravana was a Brahmin. Alright? He knew. He was a devotee of Lord Shiva. A devotee of Lord Shiva? No, he was not a devotee of Lord Shiva. He was trying to make Lord Shiva his servant. He's not a devotee. Devotional service. Nobody can become devotee of Lord Shiva if they don't want to follow what Lord Shiva is doing. You can become a devotee simply by following the instructions of him. That's it. But they want to falsely imitate. They want to say, okay, Lord Shiva, please give me this and that. And Lord Shiva is very easy. But they do not know the nature of Lord Shiva. He is not a demon. He is a pure devotee. Himself. So the idea is that the demoniac nature resides within us. At different times when the desires are so much individualized and ultimately they are against the desire of the Lord, and we try to strive to achieve them by hook or crook, by conceiving different means, and at such a cost, which may be said to be heavy cost, for little or no satisfaction, we spoil our lives, then it is nothing but waste of time. Waste of time. Hari hari vifale janam gunai. Manushya janam paya Radha Krishna na bhajiya janiya suniya vishakai. This was the thing of demoniac nature. Person will try to identify his demons within his mind. These demons are so powerful and they have been striking us. They do not know our real welfare. They don't want us to have our real welfare. Because lack of discrimination is absent, demons proliferate. They spread out so much. And it is uncontrollable spread out. And you say, these demoniac desires, asha pasha shatair baddha. Shatair means hundreds. If we have one hope and it is not being fulfilled, we create another hope over it. Hope against hope is the hopeless situation. We go after hope and we get frustrated. So, not knowing how this demoniac desires can be eliminated from us. Not knowing. We keep on piling up desires over desires. And we ourselves get burdened. That is called bondage. That's called bondage. Bondage is explained in Pavarga, by the alphabets. Pa, 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 ma. Pa means parishram, means hard labor. Go out of your way and just be after something till you achieve. But the result is very meager, at the cost of exhaustion. That is called pa. Pa, pha, ba, bha, ma is a power alphabet. The pa means parishram, the result is pena, exhaustion. But you are attached to the fruit of it, therefore ba means bandhan, and bha means bhaya, the fear or the anxiety, and ma results in mrityu. This is called power. Demons are living for power, while devotees are living for upper, opposite to the power. That is called path of liberation. A person who wants to fulfill his unsatiable desire end up in doing vikarma. Vikarma means not prescribed activities, which are completely detrimental to sink into the deep well of ignorance. Nunam pramatta kurute vikarma jadendriya prikriya na sadhu manne atmano ayam asan api kleshada asadi. This is beautifully explained in Srimad Bhagavatam, that simply satisfying the demoniac desires, person becomes pramatta, means maddened, like a mad elephant, uncontrollable activities, just to satisfy those desires. One becomes maddened, pramatta, and end up performing vikarma. Vikarma means not prescribed duties. For the jad indriya, for the dead senses, priti, for pleasing the senses, jadendri priti. Jadendri priti means for the pleasure of the dead senses, he ends up performing vikarma, unprescribed duties. That is not good for those who are in jail. Na sadhu manne atmanoyam, for the soul, it is not at all good. Why? Because the soul is encased in a body that is itself giving problems. So you are increasing your problem. Na sadhu manne atmanoyam, ayam atma is not going to be happy. This soul is not going to be happy if we end up in doing vikarmas. Why? Because asad api kleshad asadeha. The deha, the body, is kleshad. The nature of the body is to give pain. But our hope is that it will become happy. But it is giving you pain. That is the nature of the body. Body can't tolerate heat. I'm sweating right now, because there is a lot of heat coming from, and there is no air. I need fan. I need air conditioner. I need everything. I think in 1993, there was a heat wave in Chicago. Heat wave in Chicago. And the air conditions were on. And in one big skyscraper building where so many thousands of apartments were there. It was such a huge building. The electricity failed. And there were about 700 deaths in that building. Instantly. Because people got suffocated. The air was there, but discomfort. You can see, because there was no air conditioning. It failed. It killed. So, nunam pramatta kurute vikarma jadendriya pritanaya proti na sadhu manye. It is not considered to be good for the soul. Atmanoyam, asat api kleshada asti. Deha is temporary asat. Use it for better purpose. Otherwise, parabhavasya bodha jata. Failure is definite. Parabhava means the failure is definite. Abodha jata, because he is not educated, he is not intelligent. Javanna jigyasam atma tattva. Who doesn't want to care about the permanency, the eternality of the soul? And simply wants to consider the temporality of the body. That is the demon. A demon by the nature is under bodily conception. So everybody of us, we have demons. How to eradicate demons? Does anybody know? On our own, it is too difficult. Four defects. We are so much been captivated under illusion that we are not having our own strength. So we have to gain the strength from the one who is sitting in our own heart. One who is sitting in our own heart, the super soul. Invoke Lord Narsingadev and pray him. This prayer is given in Srimad Bhagavatam, is a very wonderful prayer. And those who want to eradicate their demon-like desires, they have to pray to Narsingadev. And my dear Lord Narsingadev, your nails and teeth are just like thunderbolts, because they have vanquished the demon Hiranyakashipu. Kindly vanquish our demon-like desires from our heart, so that by your mercy we may become fearless in struggle for existence in this material world. This is a very beautiful prayer. Invoke him. Because the super soul, as we saw, Srila Prabhupada is guiding in the purport, that individual soul is bombarded with demoniac desires. And super soul is witnessing like the other bird. But unless and until the one who is in anxiety turns to it, the second one, the one who is peaceful, only witness, then pray to him, help him.